This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Will Time and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, Ring of Honor, NXT, Evolve, and SummerSlam. It's a major weekend in wrestling, and Will and Jake are telling you what they are most excited about. Want more on this weekend? Want live coverage of almost every event happening? Want audio reviews of almost every event? Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Raw, SummerSlam, all of it? Check out ProWrestling.net membership where you get those audio reviews. We're running a special right now for 50 cents. You can sign up for a month. Go to ProWrestling.net. You can find the special right there at the top of the page. Enter the promo code and get yourself some great ProWrestling.net membership. And now, on with the show. So, Jake, it's SummerSlam weekend. This show's going up on Friday, and oh my gosh, there are way too many things happening this weekend. Are you, like, barricading the door to your office slash wrestle room and just sitting in there for the next 3 or 4 days with, like, freeze-dried ice cream to sustain you?
Well, believe it or not, my new house has a family room basically upstairs and downstairs. And so I need to go buy a couch so I can banish myself upstairs so nobody else in the house has to watch wrestling all weekend.
That's a great idea. That's basically what I have to do. I have to, like, break out the iPad or something or, like, go into the bedroom.
It's the only way. It's, like, way too many hours to subject other people to pro wrestling who aren't that into it.
Mm-hmm. So,
but it's great for me. Fantastic weekend coming up. I mean, hard to believe. There's so much content to watch. I mean, I don't even know if I'll be able to get through it all.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what to watch this weekend. Like, I'm picking a few things, but, oh man, there is so much going on this weekend. And I have a, like, show that I'm producing on Sunday, which means a very long Sunday for me, too, where I will be trying in the evening to run a camera while watching SummerSlam, which I'm pretty sure I'm going to do real well. We're talking about this weekend. Jake, you and I could preview every show this weekend, but then no one could listen to the show before the weekend. So we picked a few things from the weekend that we're excited about. Do you want to hit me with your first one real quick? From, you know, the Ring of Honor, the two Evolve shows, the NXT show, the SummerSlam show, plus there's Raw in Brooklyn as well.
Yeah, to me, I think the interesting interplay this weekend is going to be how NXT TakeOver sets the tone for Sunday and how the main roster responds to it. And I think the match that I'm most looking forward to is going to be Nakamura and Joe from TakeOver Brooklyn 2, because I think that match has an opportunity, being the headliner of that show on WWE's biggest weekend of the summer, to catapult Shinsuke Nakamura into a position to be, you know, a huge, you know, star in WWE. Because I think there's, you know, there's always been people who, you know, like us, who watched him in Japan, and there have been people who have been jumping on the train since he's been in NXT, and rightfully so. He's been fantastic. But, this could be the breakout weekend for him, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he and Joe put together. I think they're both fantastic talents, and I think they work a style that can, you know, get both of them over in the same match, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they come up with.
And it's Shinsuke's first main event since coming to WWE. It's his first main event, one of the biggest crowds he'll have been in front of, probably the biggest he's been in front of since WrestleMania weekend, and it'll be bigger than that crowd. So yeah, we're saying the biggest crowd he's performed in front of in the U.S. Shinsuke's a guy who in Japan, some people would complain about resting on his laurels during the random tag matches. And it's like, yeah, because when you're as good and as charismatic as Shinsuke Nakamura, you don't have to make every match special, because people want to see you do shit. People want to see Shinsuke do Shinsuke things. And WWE obviously operates under that formula even more than just
Shinsuke did himself in Japan. So now I look at Shinsuke versus Joe. It's a real big crowd. The biggest Shinsuke's been in front of since the Tokyo Dome. It's a massive, you know, kind of built up, hyped match. I think he's going to pull out all the stops in this one. I think we're going to see some unleash Shinsuke Nakamura, and it is going to be really, really special to see.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I'm not sure how many people who have sort of jumped on the bandwagon since he's been in NXT and have, you know, just gotten a taste of what he can do. If they're really prepared for full throttle Shinsuke Nakamura with the, you know, the entrance pageantry in a big arena and, the kind of performances that he brings out for these big stadium shows, you know, it's a different guy than you see in these small arenas, and probably something we haven't seen since TakeOver Dallas. And I'm not sure, you know, we really got to see his best performance there either. That was, you know, a match of the year candidate, but, you know, it's not the 25 minute wars that he had, you know, in recent years in New Japan. So I'm looking. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was saying it was a primer. It was an intro to Shinsuke with some intensity.
Correct. And I think there's a lot yet to be seen. And I think Joe is a great opponent to bring out his best, because Joe can go in there and hang with anybody. And there's not anybody I'd want more on the NXT roster to see him having, you know, a long form wrestling match with on a major show and a main event. I think they're really set up for success at this point.
Yeah, I would agree. I think they have something, at least with that main event especially, and I think you're going to talk a lot more about the NXT show in general, but they have something really, really tremendous there. Moving on to something I'm excited about this weekend, I'll kind of almost go chronologically here. Adam Cole versus Jay Lethal in the main event for the ROH World Championship. I'm excited about this because we're finally seeing Ring of Honor do some episodic storytelling. We're seeing them kind of slow down, not just go dream match, dream match, dream match, Bullet Club, suck it, but see them actually tell some stories and have a heel that's going for heel heat against a babyface that is fighting for, well, for lack of a better word, honor. And there's a title between them that I think this has been built up well, and I would say that they are... they're likely to do something really great here. I'm very, very excited to see it, and very, very excited to see what comes out of it too. To see if Ring of Honor keeps up the pace of telling stories in an episodic manner, because they've failed at that a lot in the last few years.
I would agree. I think they've come a long way. I think their production has improved dramatically. I think they are turning a corner with their storytelling, and I think they've always been there in the ring. And you know, they've made I don't want to say profound, but they've made some marked changes in the way they go about producing their television show to try and make it feel more like you're following a story that has a beginning, a middle, and an end, rather than just seemingly cutting, you know, having a TV show that's well behind their pay-per-view products. And you know, that creates a dichotomy that was difficult to follow at times. And so I'm glad we're seeing that improve, and I'm glad we're seeing Ring of Honor storytelling improve. I was happy to see them announce a partnership with CMLL in New Japan. I think, you know, talent exchanges are great for a company the size of Ring of Honor, who consistently needs to bring in, you know, new stars to offer different matches on shows. So yeah. I'm looking forward to the future of Ring of Honor, and I think, you know, this weekend will be, you know, could be a good launching point for them, you know, especially if they end up bringing in some surprises for the show this weekend.
Yeah, I just hope that talent exchange is a little more even than their exchange with New Japan has been, because if there's one criticism I really have of Ring of Honor, it's that they constantly kind of bow down to New Japan, and when you think you've got, you know, oh, well, Ring of Honor is going to get one over and their company is going to look really good. Nope, for the most part, that is not what happened. You want to hit me with another thing that you are excited about?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to bring up a women's wrestling match, and to be honest, I haven't been terribly excited about Sasha and Charlotte on the SummerSlam card as much as I wanted to be. I just don't think the story has been as good as I'd hoped, but I think they've done a better job in NXT of making, you know, of building up suspense for Asuka versus Bayley, and so that's going to be my second match. I'm looking forward to seeing Bayley sort of have her NXT swan song, as I'm assuming this is, and I think a lot of other people are, before she makes her way up to the main roster in Raw. And I think Asuka is an opponent who has really shown, you know, the ability to build layers and to bring, you know, emotion out of Bayley in a way that I think we haven't really seen from her since Sasha Banks left for the main roster, and they had that memorable feud last year in Brooklyn. And so I'm looking forward to this match the most out of any of the women's matches this weekend. And I think we're set to see sort of a, I don't want to say, you know, a crowning achievement for Bayley, because I don't think she's going to win this match, but I think we're set to see, you know, a final moment for her to kind of soak in all of the years that she spent at NXT and sort of turn in one last great performance.
And that's going to be really interesting as well. How they handle that, how they deal with the idea that Bayley comes so far, that they've kind of told this story of Bayley getting her redemption, of Bayley finding a way to win and losing. Like, they've totally told the redemption story, and I think it's actually a great thing that they've then, that I believe at least at this point, that she's going to lose. Awesome. That's a good story to tell, because the next time you start that redemption story, people don't automatically think that the person's going to win. Where I get nervous is...
It's also a great launching point for her under the main roster.
Yeah.
Because it sort of hits the reset button for her character to a point. You know, we both kind of talked about Bayley making her way to the main roster last year, you know, as a champion or, you know, right near the top of NXT. And I think her best foot forward is when she's the underdog and when she's gaining sympathy. And I think losing in a big moment would be, you know, the ability for her to kind of start from square one again on the main roster and have self-doubt and have to rebuild that confidence, because that's what her character really needs to reintroduce her to the main roster fan base.
Yeah, I think letting her restart, letting her experience a little self-doubt, and letting the fans on the main roster experience Bayley finding her confidence again, I think will be a wonderful thing. And I do hope it happens. I would love to see her debut on Monday night in Brooklyn. I think that would be a great place to bring her out. I do actually think Raw is the place to put Bayley, even though I think the division is a little... the division is ripe for someone like her. Like, the division needs a little more depth on the SmackDown side. I'm totally fine with Bayley coming up to Raw anyways. That's where I'm like, okay, but there are better stories over here. So she should go over here where she will hopefully have a better chance. I'm excited about that match. I think it could be one of the better matches all weekend. And I have to say it as competition for best women's match of the weekend, which is kind of cool to have a couple matches in contention for that, I guess. I actually don't have a women's match on my list, and I'm excited for both of the championship offerings from WWE as far as women's matches go. So there's that. For me, my second thing is Cody Rhodes on the indie scene. I'm interested to see this guy who has been in the WWE system for like 10 years. He's been employed by WWE forever. He's coming out on the indies. He's young. He seems to know he has something to prove, but is Cody Rhodes going to be more of a Drew Galloway that lights up indies and people actually want to see? Or is he going to be more of a Brian Myers that has a little run at the beginning and then fizzles out? That's where I'm unsure. That's where I really don't know if he can, you know, if his debut will be a letdown or not, I guess, will be the thing. And this weekend we get to see him against Zack Sabre Jr. and I believe Chris Hero on the two Evolve shows. And I mean, I can't think of better guys who are, you know, you're talking about some of the top guys on the indies right now, especially as far as Hero goes, who has interesting matches with almost everyone, and you know that Cody will be looking to do something cool, and I mean, I hope he succeeds.
I do too. I think there's sort of doubts that creep in when you talk about Cody Rhodes, because I think he had the label at least attached to him for a lot of years that he wrestled, you know, the WWE style, and that he didn't really know anything else. Mm-hmm. And I think he, you know, he's out to prove people wrong, you know, that there was always more there, that it wasn't allowed, you know, to be shown, and that he's willing, you know, to go out there and have, you know, all this laundry list of opponents that he wants to face, and he's going to show the world, you know, exactly who Cody Rhodes is. And I think that's, you know, it's a great way to, you know, not only, you know, rejuvenate fan interest in him, but perhaps, you know, show the people in WWE who, you know, it seemed clear, weren't interested in him on the level that he wanted them to be interested in him, you know, that there's something more to what he can offer. And so I think this is, you know, Zack Sabre Jr., Chris Hero, two guys who are, you know, the pinnacle of what indie wrestling has to offer in terms of that style and you know, the quality of matches that they put on a regular basis. It's a great, you know, proving ground for him. This will be a tough challenge, you know, for him to show that he has the ability to adapt to being anywhere, you know, and it's two very different styles. It's two, you know, very different opponents in terms of what they like to do in the ring. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what he's able to produce. I think we're going to see some surprises from Cody Rhodes. I'm one of the people who, you know, believes that there probably was a lot that wasn't exposed to us watching him in WWE, and that, you know, he's going to show us things that we're going to be impressed by. And I'm looking forward to seeing him prove it, because he's, you know, he's sort of set the expectation, and other people have as well, you know, that he's going to be unleashed on the indies. And that's something I think, you know, fans can get excited about.
What do you have as your last little thing for the weekend?
My, I guess, last item would be it would be the Demon, Finn Balor, and Seth Rollins for the brand new, the Demon King, yeah, for the Universal Championship. You know, I wasn't a huge fan of the name when it first kind of was uttered on Raw, but it's grown on me a little bit, and I think they've done a decent job, I won't say a great job, building this match into being something other than just something that was thrown together to kind of justify a championship and a new star in Finn Balor. They've given enough of a backstory. They made an attempt to, you know, to kind of show us what the Demon is and how it differs from, you know, Finn Balor as an ordinary character. And I think they've done an admirable job of attempting to get that across, you know, in a way that, you know, didn't, you know, get too hokey. And I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of match these two have. I mean, they're two guys who I think are the absolute, some of the best in the world. And I think everybody recognizes that generally, that they're two ring generals, guys who have, you know, trained other people, guys who, you know, think very highly of themselves. And I don't think they want to go out there and have, you know, just an average match. This is going to be them pushing themselves to their limits.
Yeah, I agree. I think they are going to look to tear it up. They're going to have a supportive Brooklyn crowd that wants to cheer both men. And I think they are going to put on an absolute spectacular. This is the thing, to me, that WrestleMania was kind of missing. You know, we talked a lot going into WrestleMania about how long of a show it was. WrestleMania was missing that match that you knew was going to make, you know, the hair on the back of your neck stand up at some point, that you knew was going to be so good you couldn't look away. Mania didn't have anything like that. Like, it was really missing it. And we talk about this being a longer show, SummerSlam, and this is going to be the show in the middle that's going to get your energy back up. This is going to be that burst of energy, either in the middle or at the end, that you have to pay attention to and get excited for. And I'm very much excited about that. I think it's going to be I think it's going to be a pretty remarkable match, and I get being excited for it, even when I'm not as impressed with what they've done with Finn Balor, or as completely impressed. I think it's going to be really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the perfect is the enemy of the good, you know, in almost all cases. But yeah, I think they made an attempt.
Oh, yeah.
That I think they're, yeah, was it perfect? No, I think it went. They at least made, you know, got the mythology out there, and you know, it's the first program that he's been in, and so I think you can really get lost in the weeds if you over explain it too. And so, you know, I thought what they did was all right. You know, was it, you know, was Seth Rollins the best Seth Rollins that he's ever been? I don't know. I think his character is on thin ice right now. You know, they've really had to fight against the fan inclination to cheer for him since his return. And I'm not sure, you know, it's really worked out, and, you know, as good as they had hoped. But I am looking forward to this match, and just based on, you know, the potential that it brings to the table, I'm excited for it.
Yeah. I think it has the potential to be really, really good. My final thing is actually another match I think will be really, really good. And it's AJ Styles against John Cena. They are two professionals. They were on their way to having a really good match a couple months ago. I think they just pick up where they left off, and you don't have interference this time, and you see something really, really cool from these two guys in front of a supportive Brooklyn crowd.
I have a hard time arguing with you there. I thought their promo on SmackDown just a few weeks ago was fantastic. I mean, I don't know if you managed to catch it or not, but you know, you had AJ Styles going out there and manipulating Cena, you know, with a very good promo targeting, you know, women and children indiscriminately in the crowd, which I thought was, you know, and it wasn't, you know, in a way that made you think that he, you know, it wasn't like nasty language or anything. It was just attacking the people that he knows that John Cena cares the most about, just to get a reaction from him, and he got it. And I think Cena gave one of the better typical Cena pandering to the crowd promos that he's ever given, and I think it laid a decent framework for reigniting their feud, which I think had kind of gotten lost in the shuffle throughout the whole club and New Day and before the draft on Raw. I think they did it a decent job of creating some tension there. So I think they, you know, there's a good chance we're going to get the match that we didn't get to see a few months ago, and that we're going to see a clean finish. And I think we're going to see another match where AJ Styles just blows everybody away. I mean, I think there's, you know, it's easy to throw out superlatives and words about how good he is, but you know, that match with Roman Reigns he had a few months ago just still sticks with me as just kind of a one-man heroic effort to get Roman Reigns over, and that he did the best job out of anybody has ever done.
Which of those two matches do you think will be better? The AJ Styles and John Cena match, or Finn Balor against Seth Rollins?
I guess going in, my inclination is to say Cena and Styles, but I am willing to allow for the possibility that that Rollins and Balor are going to take some risks that maybe Styles and Cena will not, and if they pay off, it could lead to people getting, you know, more out of that match than they would out of Cena and Styles.
Yeah, I can't even say. I mean, I put you in an unfair situation there. I can't even say what I would. Which one I think is going to be better, because I think they're going to have very different matches, and I think you're talking about four guys who are going to want to go out there and really impress. I mean, AJ, of course, always looking to impress, and has maybe the best shot he's had as far as being in a big match on a big show here in WWE, and with a big opponent. And you've got Finn Balor in his first main roster match. WWE is looking to make statements with him. Yeah, it's going to be ridiculous. This whole weekend's going to be ridiculous. And my goodness, do I feel for Jason, who is covering all this. I mean, I know I joke about like not doing live coverage and all that, but this is a weekend where I'm so thankful that I don't, because it just looks absolutely daunting.
It's pretty stacked. It's, you know, that many hours. I assume by the time we get a chance to have a conversation about SummerSlam on Sunday night, he'll be darn near ready to kill me by the time we get on the call. So yeah, that'll be crazy.
Yeah, he'll just. I remember when we talked to him WrestleMania weekend. Jason was just so exhausted at the end of that show. Oh, poor guy. So yeah. For everything, keep your eyes on the site, everybody. Keep watching that stuff, and yeah, hopefully it's a good weekend for everyone involved.
Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!